Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Scarvis Street on Sunday, the 19th of April. We come to bring our worship to God together. Welcome wherever you may be listening from. Friends, in days like today when we cannot meet together person to person, we can still bring our praise to God and our worship to Him. We can still share in His Word. And may God be honoured as we worship Him today. In days of uncertainty, we look back to the beginning of time and to the God who created all things. In Genesis to date, we have focused on chapter 1 and the first 6 days. Today we remember the seventh day as we move into chapter 2. Friends, just by way of announcements, please do remember one another in your prayers. Think of your neighbours, those in your community, those who are helping us to get through these days. And we'll come to remember some things specifically later on in the service. But our PW, that's our ladies' group, their leaders have composed a little letter for all ladies in the congregation and, in a sense, to a wider group of ladies who may be listening. In these difficult days, we, as leaders of the PW, I thought we would like to ask our minister to read a short letter of encouragement to us. PWA ended so abruptly for this session, along with many other organisations. These uncertain days came quickly, and we find ourselves living in strange times of lockdown and new daily rules. We wish to remind you that you're not forgotten. As a church group and church family, we continue to think and pray for each other. We encourage you also to think of other churches and organisations and communities, our government and our key workers, the folk who work so hard to keep us well and safe. Today we also want to thank God, to thank Him for all that He has been to us, for all that we have, for our friendships, for kindnesses one to the other during these challenges of COVID-19. And to remember that the brightest rainbow often follows the darkest storms. We wish to share with you a couple of verses from the scriptures, Psalm 46, verse 10, that we are to remember to be still and to know that God is God. And in Isaiah 41, verse 10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We don't know what lies ahead, but we have a great God who does know, and a great God who will stand with us. Take care and stay safe. May God's blessing surround you as you look ahead to when we can meet again. Yours with love and sincerity. That's from the leaders of Scarvis Street PW. Friends, let's come together as a people as we bring our worship to God. We sing from praise number 1267, "Come People of the Risen King." As we sing through this praise, the first verse allows us to focus on the shifting shadows of the earth. Things are changing. But yet, there are the steady arms of God, God who is unchangeable, unshakable. In verse 2, we're reminded that sometimes we feel stronger or weaker in many aspects of life and faith. But we're to know that God is perfect. Perfect in His love and perfect in His giving. Verse 3 is a simple call to come to God and to receive what he has for us. We bring our praise to God. Friends, we draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we bless you at this time of year, the time when the earth begins to declare that beginning of fruitfulness in spring. After the winter and the cold, darker days, we bless you that the season opens up for us something of the beauty of God. We thank you for all that we can see round about us. We thank you for the beauty of your creation, the wonder of nature. And Lord, we don't worship these things, but we worship you, for you're behind it all. In every tree or flower, mountain, river, the vastness of the oceans, the firmament above, the unsearchable universe, the stars and planets you have put in place. Lord, we marvel that in all this expanse you care for us. And you draw near to us. And so we come in Jesus' name. We come to worship you today. We come to look not only into our own hearts and ask for your help, your peace, your love, your forgiveness. But we also look out round about to those whom we would normally sit with and share worship with, and we picture them with our mind's eye. And we think of unknown friends who join with us today in worship. And Lord, we pray that you will bless them too. Lord, we look up to remember your greatness, your glory. We pray that you will give us another glimpse of who you are as we come to your word and as we listen to your voice. And Father, as we bow before you, we are conscious of our failures. Some we see very clearly and vividly, others we just don't understand. Be pleased, Lord, to forgive us all our sins. Touch us by your Spirit. Lift us up, we pray. And help us as we focus upon you to love you as we should. Move by your Spirit in our hearts. And Lord, let us bless your name today as we meet in worship. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, we find our reading today, two readings, one in Genesis chapter 2 and the other in Hebrews chapter 4. We think today of the seventh day, that day of rest. So we read from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And then reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. We read a passage that speaks of the Sabbath rest for the people of God. In Genesis 2, we read of how God rested, and that was to be a foretaste of a very special rest that his people would have. So Hebrews 4 at verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Friends, we think of that Sabbath rest, that entering into it, and a key truth there is that we relinquish all sense of work and effort on our own behalf to enter into the rest that God has provided. And that's the key of the gospel. We don't come with hands full to God. We come to hands empty. We come to him with hands empty that we may receive. Boys and girls, it's great to be able to speak with you again. Sorry you can't respond, that I can hear your voices, but I know you'll try to answer the wee questions we have Sunday by Sunday. We've been thinking about the wonderful gift of salvation. And can you remember the first thing that we learned? We've learned three things to date. Salvation is a wonderful gift of many parts. Can you remember the first thing we learned? It was, can you say it? Sins forgiven, that God forgives us our sins. The second thing, can you remember? Can you say it? Friends of God, that not only does God forgive us our sins, but he makes us his friends. And then last week, can you remember? It was changed lives. Do you remember Onesimus, the servant who ran away, had stolen from his master, but yet met Paul in prison in Rome, and his life was changed. Well, today we think of something else in this great gift of salvation. And the special phrase is a special happiness. Because God wants his boys and girls to have this special happiness. Let me take you back into the New Testament a long, long time ago. Paul and Silas were two people who followed Jesus. And they went to different towns and cities, and they told the people about Jesus. Paul went on different missionary journeys to different places. And one place was Philippi, and you can read about it in Acts chapter 16. And when Paul was there, he was very saddened to see something. There were people who had a young girl, and she had some mental problems. She wasn't very well. She would have shouted and shrieked and made predictions, and they used her, and they made money out of her. And when Paul saw this, he was very, very distressed, and he commanded in Jesus' name that the girl stop this, and she was released from the spirit that was allowing her to say these things. And so she had got her life back. But of course the people who were making money out of her, they were very, very annoyed. And they had Paul arrested and Silas arrested and put in prison. They were beaten with whips, that their backs were sore. They were in chains in the prison, on the cold prison floor. And at night time, they were singing. And the prisoners were listening, and the jailer, he was listening. And very amazed, because here they were in agony with very sore backs, and yet they were singing to God. There was a massive earthquake, and the doors of the prison fell open, all the chains fell off. God did a miraculous thing. And the jailer, when he heard this and saw all the commotion, he assumed that all the prisoners would have escaped and then his own life would have been in danger. But when he went in, he found they were all there. And he spoke to Paul and Silas. I'm sure because he'd been listening to them sing, and said, "You've something very special. What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." The jailer took Paul and Silas home, and they washed their wounds. And we read at the end of that story where they rejoiced because they had believed in God. Boys and girls, there's a special happiness that we can have. It's a happiness that never goes away, because when we believe in Jesus as our Saviour, we know that he will never leave us. We will always be with him, and that he has made a special home for us in heaven. So when we think of salvation, we think firstly of our sins forgiven, but more than that, that we're made the friends of God. And more than that, we have changed lives. And more than that, we have a special happiness in our hearts, just like the jailer of long ago. And next week, we'll think of a fifth thing about this wonderful gift of salvation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you as boys and girls for this wonderful gift of salvation. And we pray that even as we sit with our eyes closed in your presence, that we will know this great happiness deep in our hearts, that you love us, that you forgive us, that you make us your friends, that you change our lives. We have this special happiness. Lord, bless our boys and girls for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, Leah is going to lead us in praise this morning, in a praise piece entitled, "He Will Hold Me Fast." And in these days when we think of resting in our God, we can rest because we know that that is true. He will hold us fast.
Hold me fast. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life. He will hold.
Friends, as we come to think of other people today, in a changing world, a world that is very uncertain, we have some key things that we can want to bring before God in prayer. Let's bow before him. Father, we know that you see the end from the beginning in all things. And you see the end of this crisis. And you see future crises ahead of this world that you have made. And nothing will surprise you, O God. And you are there for your people. And you will bring your righteous response in each crisis. But Lord, today we remember those who are being treated for the coronavirus. We pray, O God, that you will bring them comfort and strength and a healing touch. We remember the staff, the NHS staff who work so fearlessly to help those who are stricken with this virus. And Lord, we remember two other patients who have therapies or treatments postponed, unable to have consultations. Lord, we pray that you will bless those in this time of waiting. Lord, we pray too for those who have businesses and those who are self-employed, those for whom the future is quite uncertain. We pray for those who have businesses who have to make difficult decisions that affect their own lives and the lives of their workers. Lord, be pleased to give them wisdom and grace. We pray for those who are self-employed, who have been particularly hit by the loss of business, and those who have little reserves perhaps to fall back on. Lord, may they have peace, and may you supply their needs too. We pray too today for those who have responsibility for bringing news to us, for those who determine and filter media content. We pray, Lord, that you will allow them to use this key role sensitively and faithfully, that there will be an effective balance of up-to-date information without unnecessarily increasing anxiety among people. And Lord, we pray for society as a whole, that it might respond in a way that's measured and wise, rather than reacting to unfolding events with fear, panic, or carelessness. Lord, help us to be disciplined. Let all our people have a sense of oneness in this crisis. Lord, we pray too for that unbridled message of the gospel going out over the airwaves or online. We pray, O God, that the many throughout your world will hear and heed, understand and respond to the glory of Christ, the beauty of the gospel. Lord, hear our prayer and bless us around your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, as we come to God's word today, we think of the seventh day. We read that God rested. And what does that mean? The thought of God resting, was he tired? Did God go to sleep on that seventh day? Rest has a particular meaning here. God does not need to rest as we rest. And there is a sense where the word rest speaks of contentment and peace and fulfillment. In the fourth century, one of the great church fathers, as he was known as Augustine, wrote this about God: "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." God has made this creation, he has made us in his image, and he's made us for himself. And we don't function properly. We cannot function properly if we are estranged from God. Our true destiny is to find the rest that is found in God alone. This is the destiny of those who are, as God defines them, my people. It is to rest as God rests. It is to rest in him. So I want us to think of two biblical concepts this morning. The first, the concept of rest. And the second, the concept of work. You might think it's strange to think of work, but part of resting is working. We first of all think of the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath means the seventh. It's the seventh day. What is the cure for restlessness? What is the cure for frustration? What is the cure from futility? These and other problems due to sin having entered into this world through Adam and Eve. These verses are picked up in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, particularly in chapter 4, the chapter that we read. In verse 9, we read of the Sabbath rest. Hebrews is a book written to those from a Jewish background who have come to faith in Christ. And in the Old Testament, because of the sin of the people, at a particular time, God said they would not enter his rest. And yet that rest is still there for those who will come to God. And as we know today, we come to God through Jesus Christ. God created this rest for men and women. In Psalm 95, verse 11, we have this picture of rest. It is a symbol of heaven, of peace with God. And we ask the question, why do people not enter the rest that God has provided? Why do people not come to the God who can give them rest? Perhaps simply because people don't understand what this rest is. And then consequently, the way to come to God to find this rest is something that the world doesn't really want to encounter. We must come to God in God's way that we find the rest that he has provided. And to come to God in God's way is to come to him through Jesus Christ, his eternal Son. In the Old Testament, the people were looking forward to a day when the Messiah would come. And in the New Testament and in subsequent days, we are looking back to the Christ who came. We ask the question, how does Jesus bring us this rest? Sin, friends, is the basic cause of restlessness. And sin is the problem that must be dealt with. But as sinners, we cannot deal with our own sin. I remember once reading, it's like standing on a mat and reaching down and picking the edges of the mat with your hands and trying to lift yourself up. You can't. You can't lift yourself up. But someone can reach down, if they're strong enough, and grab you and lift you up from that mat. We cannot deal with our own sin, but God has declared that he can. Jesus paid the penalty for sin when he went to the cross. He alone opens up the door into God's presence for those who believe in him. People don't believe in Jesus Christ, and so they do not enter the rest that God provides. Perhaps the chief reason is because rest is united with holiness. We often hear the phrase of Jesus Christ being Saviour and Lord. Saviour, in the sense that we can enter in through him and have our sins forgiven and find rest. But also Lord, because he is pure and perfect. And he is the master, therefore we are to follow him and honour him. And that speaks of a holiness. It speaks of a life that brings praise and honour to God. And so as Saviour and Lord belong together, so rest and holiness, salvation and how we live belong together. It is God who brings salvation, he brings the rest. But those who experience that rest are made new within their hearts, and so they want to be different for Jesus. They want to be better for him. They want to live lives that honour him. The two go together. Why does the world not run and embrace the gospel? The answer is that, yes, The world wants rest. The world wants peace. The world wants heaven. Who wouldn't want these things? But when this is connected to holiness, to living for God, for honoring His laws, the world wants a different path. God is absolutely holy. He has no place for sin. There is not a sinful thought, not a sinful wish, not a sinful deed or emotion in God. Yet everything we do is marred by sin. Men and women do not like God because He is holy. People need this rest. But they need it in the way that it can be found. And that's through Jesus and a surrender to Him. When we rest from work. And so we come to God, and we come to receive. But having received, He then puts us to work. What is Sunday work or Sabbath work? The Christian Sabbath is the Sunday, the first day of the week, because it is the day of specific activity. The Lord was raised on the first day. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It was the first day of the week. The Lord was risen on the Sunday. The Spirit came on the Sunday. When Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, on the first day of the week, that is the Sunday, set aside a gift for God. And so we worship on this first day. The Old Testament has been completed. The Sabbath rest has been won. And so God moves us to be active. Sunday, today, is to be a day of joy, a day of activity, a day of expectation. Friends, Sunday is an exciting day, the day when the tomb was empty, when the risen Saviour appeared to His friends. A day when the Spirit came to empower God's people. And on this first day of every week, we remember the resurrection. We remember the power of God unleashed. We remember the completion of salvation. We remember sins forgiven. A day of joy. We see the culmination of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first word to the woman who went to the tomb. That was the word of rejoice. He is risen. Do not be afraid. Friends, let us be done with long faces on the Lord's day. We don't come to church only to go home. Unfortunately, we can't come to church at all in days like today. But let us come when this opportunity is given to us again. Let us come with a real sense of joy and gladness and privilege. In the early days of the church, the Acts of the Apostles records how the people wanted to meet together. The apostle didn't have to go around knocking on doors. The people came to the place of worship. There was no flagging interest. The opposite was true. In Acts 2, we read in verses 42, 46 and 47, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They wanted God's word. They wanted to meet together. They wanted to share in the sacrament and they wanted to pray. These were blessed people. These were reborn people. Others liked to be with them because of their joy. Their friendships were developing. And the Lord moved in their company and added to their number those who were being saved. The Lord's day is a day of joy. It's also a day of activity, of specific activity. The woman went to the tomb. Jesus appeared to them. The word was communicated to the disciples. Jesus gave them the great commission that they were to go and to tell the world about him. Activity which expresses the joy of the resurrection of Jesus. Friends, that's why our worship is a significant thing. The most real thing that is ever done on earth. Jesus tells us to worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit from within our own beings, moved by God's Spirit. And in truth, the content of our worship is important. We are not to be inactive. We have the scriptures in our own tongue, our own language. Why? To engage our minds. Worship is only worship when it comes from the heart in love and as our minds are fully engaged on truth. And the Holy Spirit drawing us into communion with God. This special day is a day of joy. It's a day when we are active together in worship. And it's a day of expectation because we never know what will happen on a Sunday. What will I hear? How will God move my heart? Will he cause a tear to drop down my cheek? Will he fill me with a sense of joy or privilege? Will he speak sharply to rebuke me? Will he make a challenge crystal clear in my thinking? Will he come to bind up my heart in my sadness? What will he teach me? What does he want me to learn? When God speaks, lives are changed. Today can be the turning point in someone's experience. Someone's entire life can be changed in an instant. God's people know this reality of rest and holiness. Resting in Christ for salvation. And holiness, because on this day, they have a great joy. They are active in worship. and they don't know what God will choose to do. And so they're expectant. Friends, as we take the gospel message into our hearts, and as we take this message to a world that neither knows rest nor holiness, may God come anew to bless. For we and this world needs rest and holiness. And so there was the seventh day, and God rested from all his work. And this same God has promised us a Sabbath rest. A rest from all work, that we might receive the righteousness of God, that we might be found in Christ. And having rested, he sets us free to work, that our lives will be filled with joy, filled with activity that honors God. And expectant hearts, for we're never sure what God will choose to do. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we bless you for your word. We bless you for the Sabbath rest. We bless you that we can enter into that special rest, that rest that removes our fears, that gives us a new confidence, a confidence in God, a rest that fills our hearts with joy, that points us to a new way of living and excites us in the God who does the unexpected. Lord, grant us your grace today as we rest in Christ and in your mercy, as we work for him. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, our closing praise is number 1183. Holy Spirit, living breath of God. As we sing this praise, we are to know God's presence. We are to remember God's love. And we are to experience God's power. Let's lift up our hearts to God in praise.
Of the rain.
Friends, we come in prayer. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all this day and evermore.